Turn with me to Genesis 4, verse 4 to 8. As we look at the issue of revenge now on our second part of this series on forgiveness. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 4 to 8.
Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him.
Now, the Lord sees what's going on Cain's heart as he feels that he was rejected. It is a very common hurt among us, men and women, that rejection is a profound hurt and wound in our souls. But we know that the Lord told him what to do. But still, Cain had a choice. Remember we talked about that? Cain had a choice, and he chose to groom his bitterness to the point that it became revenge, and he killed his brother. And the Lord warned him about the desire of sin to dominate him and told him, "But you should dominate that desire and obey me." But Cain chose to groom that anger that became now the desire of revenge. And as you cannot take revenge on God, you take revenge on somebody that you know God loves and accepts, and he killed his brother. And you know, bitterness always carries over to other people around us. Even as you're bitter with your boss, and you cannot take on your boss, but who knows at home who's going to have to put up with your bitterness. Maybe your wife, or your husband, your kids, or the dog, or the cat. Someone is going to pay for your bitterness, sooner or later. Now, this is almost the story that happened in October the 2nd of 2006 in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, among the Amish. And that day, the milkman, Charlie Roberts, he entered an Amish one-room school. He told the teacher, the assistant teacher, and all the boys to leave. And he kept in the room 10 girls, some very, very young. He locked the doors, the windows, and he started killing them, shooting them. He killed 5 young girls, and at the end, 5 were severely wounded by the time the police was able to get there and shoot him. People always were asking, but why did Richard do that? His wife said he was such a kind man, he had children. And then finally it was found that he had a very young child, actually a baby, that died just after being born. And it was a girl that died. During the next months and years, he became a bitter man against God for taking his young daughter. He left a note for his wife the day he did that, saying, "I'm doing this for you and our family." Like Cain, he could not take revenge on God, so he takes all his anger, bitterness, wrath, and revenge on those little girls. Because in his mind, God did not answer his prayer and took away his young baby child daughter. So he was avenging that on God. Bitterness brings wrath, anger, and revenge. And when you cannot touch God, you touch anyone around you. So what you and I don't forgive will poison us and passes on to people around us. And I've seen that even passing in families to a second and third generation of people that are hate and hateful. But I can tell you that the Lord can break that cycle, that the blood of Jesus can set you free. You don't know, but your bitterness is hurting other people around you. And things people do, like Mr. Richard, that seem so irrational, can even be justified by a conscience that is now hard, dark, and filled with anger. Also in the same year, 2006, have you heard of Crocodile Hunter? Anybody? It was in 2006 that Crocodile Hunter, Steve Irwin, he was doing a documentary, he was from Australia, and was about stingrays. And somehow, the barb of a stingray pierced his chest right to the heart, and he died while making the documentary. Steve Irwin, 2006. Now, one thing many people don't know is that in the weeks after Steve Irwin died because of the barb of the stingray killing him, lots of stingrays, mutilated and dead, were found in the beaches around Queensland, Australia. When the marine biologists and the police went to investigate, they realized that these were deeds performed by the fans of Steve Irwin that with such anger and rage decided to mutilate and kill as many stingrays as they could, as if that would resolve the problem or bring him back to life. But you see, anger and bitterness has no rationale. There's no rationale. So the Bible warns us in James chapter 1, verse 20, and says, "My brother, the anger of man will never bring about divine justice." Let's say all together. The anger of man will never bring about divine justice. Let's try one more time. The anger of man will never bring about divine justice. Mark that in your heart, not just in your Bible. Revenge will always lead us to enemy territory. Revenge will always lead you and me to enemy territory. Romans 12 verse 9 says, "Revenge is mine, says the Lord." Revenge is mine, says the Lord. Only God can dispense revenge appropriately and pay within the right measure at the right time. Not you, not me. What does the Bible tell us? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and there were so many issues in that church between brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7.
"The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated?"
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. "Here are brothers and sisters that let bitterness take over their lives, not just giving the cold shoulder to each other, not talking to each other, but now they're suing each other." So Paul is telling them, it's already wrong that you have all this bitterness. Why don't you suffer injustice? Why don't you rather suffer wrong? Oh my goodness, you preach that to today's Christian and you lose your job if you're a pastor. Because in American societies, what about my rights? These are my rights. But brother and sister, look at the cross and see your wrongs. And that Christ put aside his rights in order to save you and forgive you. The Christian job description, he said, is all about continuous forgiveness. And it's not about your rights. Do you have to suffer injustice? Do it for his sake. Do you have to suffer wrong? Do it for his sake. This is your job description, and mine too. Look at the cross. Look at the wrong that he suffered, also from me and you. He is your Savior. So Peter exhorts us and says, when he was blasphemed, he never cursed back anybody. But he took it everything to the throne of the one who is the righteous judge. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Lack of forgiveness in a church is like ice in the pipes, stops the water from flowing, stops the Spirit from working in our lives, and bless the church. There's nothing that stops the work of God in a church like bitterness and lack of forgiveness. Nothing like that. It's ice in the pipes. The church where members experience bitterness and lack of forgiveness will never grow. We remember that Joseph had dreams. Dreams that seem to disappear because of his brother's bitterness against him. Joseph was betrayed and sold as a slave. He could have chosen bitterness and energized himself with plans of revenge. But Joseph made a choice and refused that path. Joseph chose to see God's hand in everything, including the evil that was done against him. But at the end, his dreams came true. Nothing will kill your dreams faster than bitterness and lack of forgiveness in your heart. And at the end, Joseph's dreams came true. He chose to forgive. Joseph proposed to turn his back on those hurtful memories and trust the fact that God, in his time, he'd fulfill all his promises. Brother and sister, the work of executing revenge is God's work. Your work, my work, is called forgiveness. Revenge belongs to God and God alone. Turn with me to end Genesis 41, verse 51 and 52.
Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. He named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction.
And imagine this. This man that suffered wrong so many times, so often. He had two boys, and he named those two boys to be a witness to the faithfulness of God when you forgive. He said his first boy called Manasseh. That means God made me forget of all the misery that I passed to this point. God made me forget. You see, you obey the Lord, you forgive, and then he will help you to forget. It's not the other way around. It's not that you're trying to forget in order to forgive. Oh, no, no, no. You forgive and God will help you to forget. And this boy is a witness to God's faithfulness when Joseph forgave the evil that was done against him. But he had a second boy, Ephraim. And Ephraim means God made me prosper. He fulfilled all his promise to me. God made me prosper. In the land of my affliction, he made me prosper. I want you to understand that The God of Joseph is our God. He still acts by the same principles. When you and I choose forgiveness, we will find that we will indeed forget. And not only that, we will find God's blessing even in a land of affliction. May you believe from your heart, and may you experience His promise too. And Lord, how grateful we are that we may turn to the cross this morning and see the open arms of Jesus, our Savior, inviting us to come to Him with our hurts, our pain, our afflictions, and trust in Jesus with all this baggage, because He has something better for us. Oh Lord, may we turn to You, the one who rights all the wrongs, and we want to believe Your promise in Your time, in Your way, to make everything beautiful.